right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CanCast number 139. I am your host, GPD, in Tokyo, Japan. And where is the wombat?
I'm home. Where else would I be? Doesn't even make sense.
Do you know what impression I was doing there?
Isn't that like from the Batman movie?
That is. Very good.
Yeah.
See? My talent knows no bounds, Wombat. No bounds
that
at
is,
all.
That is true. And my just knowing you well enough to know what you're doing, I think, is really what it comes down to.
Right. Did you know that my left hand is down my pants right now?
When is your left hand not down your pants?
When it's up my pants. Anyway, Wombat, welcome to the show. Everybody else, welcome to the show. Today is Election Day, or as they say in Japan, Erection Day.
Har, har, har.
But where's the rim shot when you need it? It's being followed very closely. This election is being followed even more closely around the world than in America.
People are very interested. I don't know about that, but
well, maybe
not. Church being followed closely.
Right, right. So you voted, I assume?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. I left work about a half hour early so I could get home and vote and still do the show tonight.
Were there a lot of people there?
No, actually, it was pretty empty when I got there. Not empty. There were still people there voting, but I didn't have to wait.
Right. So. That's good.
It was funny because Mrs. Wombat and I had planned on going separately, and we wound up being online at the same time.
That's because she's voting for McCain and you're voting for Obama, right?
That is, yeah, that would be the reason she's voting for, no.
No. That's not the reason at all.
No.
No, I voted via absentee ballot, like 2 weeks ago, actually.
Excellent.
And I was teasing I did it while my parents were here, and the whole time I was teasing my mom that I was going to vote for McCain. I'm like, you know, I really like the Sarah Palin. She's very funky and has a good head on her shoulders. And my mom was like freaking out. I think she thought I was serious, and she was like ready to never speak to me again.
That's awesome.
But no, I voted for the guy whose name sounds like Yo Mama.
Exactly.
Can you figure out?
I actually had the CNN election coverage up.
No, don't be looking at that. You're going to be distracted.
I will be distracted. I make no bones about it.
Right. Well, it's a big day, and nobody wants to see America make another mistake like they did 4 years ago and 8 years ago.
I have very little confidence in that. So
I know. See, I can't even threaten to leave the country anymore.
Because you already did.
Yeah, I did. I got nowhere else to go.
So it really doesn't matter who wins to you.
I could threaten to move back to America.
That's a threat and a half.
That's right. People won't like that. No. So between the last show and this show, Halloween had passed, and I saw pictures of Sabrina in a pumpkin outfit.
Oh, you saw the pumpkin costume? Yeah, you should post those in the show forum thread.
Yes, I will. You copied us because we did that last year.
Excuse us, we're big copycats.
I heard that.
That was intentional too. You figured us out.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, well, we didn't do anything actually. Ty was sick Thursday and Friday, so he didn't even get to go to daycare and have them embarrass him at daycare with some fruity outfit. So we had no Halloween whatsoever. Did you dress up?
Well, I didn't realize how much of a Halloween town I really lived in.
Right.
It being my first Halloween in Massapequa.
Mm-hmm.
And we went and bought candy like 2 weeks ago. And my wife was like, we got to buy this candy right here. And it was two-pound bags of candy.
Right.
4 pounds of mini chocolate bars.
Oh, wait, I'm still adding that up. Hold on. Yeah, you're right. It's 4 pounds.
Yes, thanks. And I'm like, there's no way we're going to go through 4 pounds of candy bars. Do you know how many pounds of candy bars we went through?
6 pounds.
We went through 3.5 pounds of candy.
How many of those did you account for yourself personally?
I have not accounted for any.
Really?
Okay, maybe some of the Baby Ruths, but that's it.
Right.
Baby Ruths have peanuts in it, so they're healthy.
Oh, yeah, it's healthy, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
It was cool. I wasn't expecting to see. And it's like something out of it. Sometimes my town just turns into suburban little area from the 1950s. Like the kids who are probably like 10 and 11 years old with their brothers that are like 4 and 5 year old. And the 4 and 5 year olds are in the back of the little radio flyer. And the older kids drag them down the street.
What was the most popular costume, would you say, this year?
I saw a handful of Jack Sparrows.
Jack? Who's Jack? Oh, from Pirates of the Caribbean.
From Pirates of the Caribbean, and I saw a couple of football players and some princesses and some witches. a lot of witches.
I see. People don't. Yeah. It's weird. Here, they put up, like, the stores will put up, like, happy Halloween signs, and maybe 40% of the time they'll spell it correctly. But you don't see people trick-or-treating or, you know, maybe in some areas, like, older people will go out, you know, like, Gaijin will go out, you know, so just an excuse to dress up in a silly outfit and go drinking like I did a couple years ago with my construction worker thing. But you don't really see it. I mean, this restaurant that we go to a lot had a Halloween, like, cup that you could buy, and it was filled with candy, and it was and they spelled it Halloween, but, you know, that's sort of par for the course. But I want to bind the cup, actually, because it was a huge cup, and I like to have a big cup for water drinking, you know?
Of course.
You gotta love a big cup.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my own goblet, and I got it in cheap-ass gamer green. I was very excited about that. Although, they didn't quite understand, like, I think, Halloween so much, because the candy that they put in there were candy canes.
And that's the wrong holiday.
Yeah, that's the wrong holiday. And Dum Dum lollipops, which are like the worst lollipops.
I like Dum Dum lollipops.
Well, you're a Dum Dum, obviously.
That's true. Do you know why there's the mystery flavor in Dum Dum lollipops?
Because they don't even know what it is.
Well, that's part of the reason. But what happens is all the different flavors are made on one machine. So when they finish making like all the cherry and right. then they go and they load in the grape, there's a batch that comes out in between before all the grape syrup actually runs through and all the cherry runs out. That's kind of like a mixture. Because it's not like they clean the machine between runs.
Why would you know this?
Why not know this?
I don't know. It just seems like one of those things that you don't really need to know. Like, how would you come across that information?
On the internets.
You looked it up? You actually like Googled Dum Dum mystery flavor?
I refuse to answer that question.
Someone's got a lot of free time, but you shouldn't be. But
no.
You have enough free time for Dum Dum internet research.
Exactly.
Anyway, Wombat, I had a really nice weekend this weekend, and I want to tell you about it because it was actually...
Did you get away?
We got away. We did. It was actually a milestone for us. It was a couple milestones, actually. First of all, this was the third year anniversary of us moving to Japan, which is very exciting. But more important than that was it was the first weekend that we were not caring for Ty. We dropped Ty off. We went to Osaka. All right. On Saturday, we went to Osaka and we dropped off Ty at Osaka Grandma's place and had a very lovely fugu dinner. I know you're a big fan of fugu, Wombat.
I do like the fugu.
That's the blowfish. It was really cool. Like Osaka Grandma.
Deadly, 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 tasty fish.
Exactly. We had that only tasty, no deadly. And Osaka Grandma just ordered in like this huge amount of fugu. And we had fugu sashimi and fugu in a hot pot. It was, and you know, nobody else really eats that much. They're just busy. They drink a lot. And I wind up eating enough for like three people. So that was a lot of fun. And so the plan was for the weekend was, Saturday, we go to Osaka, and we drop off Ty at Grandma's, and then we go stay at a hotel in Osaka, and then on Sunday, we go to Kyoto and stay in a hotel in Kyoto, you know, and Ty stays with Grandma. This is great because...
And no pants, you know, for 3 days, I'm assuming.
What's that?
No pants for 3 days?
No pants. Well, some pants. So, but this is great, obviously, because we don't have to take care of Ty, and we could just, you know, be two people having fun and, you know, not having to work.
And in 9 months, Ty will have a sibling.
Well, no. So here's the thing. So for our stay in Osaka on Saturday night, we didn't book a hotel room because what we decided we were going to do is we were going to stay at a Love Hotel. Now, for those of you who don't know, a Love Hotel is basically like a sex hotel. And they're really popular in Japan and I think other parts of Asia too. And it's where people go to have sex. And you can rent the room out for like at an hourly rate or for like stay overnight. And the reason
why. Like
a hotel
by the airport?
Like, yeah, but these are. The whole purpose is for sex. You know, they're called love hotels. And the reason why they're popular, part of the reason is in Japan, a lot of couples live with their extended family. So even though they, you know, they'll be a married couple with a kid, they'll actually, their parents will live with them also. And, you know, the houses are small, so it's very difficult to get privacy and get your bang on.
And salary man has to go somewhere to sleep around with salary woman.
Yes, and that is the other reason. That is the other reason. So we decided we were going to stay at a Love Hotel. And those, you don't make reservations. You just sort of shop around when you get there. Of course, we didn't tell Osaka Grandma that we were staying at a Love Hotel. So my wife had to lie and, you know, tell her, just, you know, say, oh, we're staying at this hotel, which, of course, was not the case. So we had sort of planned this for a couple, you know, first of all, we planned this whole trip for months in advance because Japanese people love to go to Kyoto in the fall to check out the fall foliage. It's like a really popular destination. So I think we booked the hotel in Kyoto in like April or something ridiculous like that. But I've been looking forward to this whole Love Hotel thing for a while. And I was like looking them up on the internet ahead of time. And I decided that I wanted to stay at sort of like a freaky place. So we went around to a lot of different Love Hotels, and this is like 11 o'clock at night. And what you do is you walk in to the hotel lobby, and they basically have a big screen up on the wall. And there's all these different pictures of the individual rooms. And if the picture is lit up, that means the room is available. And if it's dark, it means it's taken. So a lot of the rooms were taken because we were sort of late getting over there. You know, we weren't really looking till maybe like 11 or 12 because Ty was flipping out and we couldn't leave. So we came across this place called the Hotel Pamplona. And if you click on that Flickr link on the show outline, Wombat, you can see the type of room that I selected.
That is freaky.
It is freaky. Make sure you look at all the pictures. There's some that are more interesting than others.
I like the first one.
What's the first one? Why don't you tell the
people
what you're
looking
at?
Okay, well, it's a room that's all red.
Right.
And there is a bondage chair.
Right.
Which would be a metal chair, almost like a metal table, but sort of upright.
Right, stainless steel.
Stainless steel chair with shackles on the top and shackles on the bottom. Now, next to the shackle stainless steel saw chair or hostel chair is a circular bed, which I assume rotates.
It doesn't rotate, actually. I'll tell you why.
That's a little disappointing. That is in a cage.
Right. Yeah. So when we went to that hotel, they had two freaky rooms. There was that room. I mean, they had probably more freaky rooms, but only two left. They had that room, and then they had one that was more of like a classroom theme. So they had like a chalkboard and shackles hanging from the chalkboard and a student desk.
I like the bathroom.
Yeah, and the bathroom, I mean, this was like I think they have those two fancy, were the fanciest rooms in the place because they were about $150 a night, which is sort of expensive for a Love Hotel. The bathroom, yeah, had a jacuzzi in it. It has, it was huge.
A toilet in a prison with a window? What is that?
Well, the toilet was actually in a separate room. There was a glass wall separating it.
That's weird.
But there were shackles on the wall of the shower. So you could chain.
I like the picture of your feet, by the way.
My feet? Oh, yeah. You could see there was a TV outside of the bed in the cage. And it shows porno. It shows bad Japanese porno the whole time. I actually have a video tour of the room that I made.
Oh, excellent.
But I'm afraid. See, here's the problem. I can't put it on, like, those Flickr pictures. Those are marked private. Like, you can only see them because I gave you a special link. Because Osaka Grandma checks the Flickr page for pictures.
Oh, yeah,
Ty.
No, she can't look at those.
No, she can't see these because it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
And we told her we were staying at a real hotel.
Like, I think you might be able to get away with some of them. Like, maybe the picture of you behind the
cage. No. Because we told her we were staying at a hotel.
You know what you can do is you could download these to your desktop and post them on your KAG blog.
I can just give people this link, the special link that I gave you, and then they can see those pictures. I think I'll just do that.
That works, too.
And she can't see them. And I'll post a video on my Vimeo page. I don't know if she knows about the YouTube page. Anyway, it was really a lot of fun, and it was so much fun just like searching for the room, like trying to find the right room, going from hotel to hotel, because they're all in the same neighborhood, and you wind up seeing other couples who are doing the exact same thing, and everybody's there for the same reason, because they got to fuck. And it's just, I don't know, the whole experience was like classy. So much fun. It was classy. And did you see the mat in the shower, the inflatable mat?
The silver mat thing?
Yeah. That's called mat play. It was a lot of fun. Oh, by the way, I was supposed to have a warning to tell my parents not to listen to this part, but I guess I'm too late on that.
I think so.
I'm a little too late. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. I definitely recommend if you come to Japan, stay at a love hotel one night, especially Osaka. I think Osaka has the freaky ones. And it was great. We had a lot of fun. And the reason why the bed doesn't spin around, Wombat, is because there were shackles on the bed, too. And if the bed spun around, you would lose your arms.
Yeah, it would be dangerous.
I guess, because it's shackled to the cage, not to the bed.
Gotcha.
And they had karaoke in the room, and they had like a vending machine where you could buy sex toys and stuff, sexual accessories. Now that everybody's got a disgusting burned-in retina image of me chained to a wall in a shower, maybe we'll talk about something else. Oh, actually, you know what? And then on Sunday we went to Kyoto, and we stayed at a very nice hotel in Kyoto. If you're traveling to Kyoto, I highly recommend the Hyatt Regency. It's very nice. Very nice hotel. And I don't know, like when you go away, Wombat, when you go on vacation, does your wife go for like the spa treatments?
She has.
She like that? Like that's the first thing my wife does is she like checks out the spa treatments. So, of course, like they had a thing on our promotional thing on our room about the spa, and she wanted to go, and she wanted me to go too. But I don't know. Like, do you like going to those things? Like, I feel sort of dorky. Like, but I don't want to put on the robe and like walk around the spa. Like, I don't know. It's feel awkward doing that.
I have no problem with that. I like wearing robes in general.
But I don't like other people seeing me in them, and I
have no problem with that either.
I don't know, and the whole thing seems like weird to me, but they had like a special on acupuncture. So I decided to give acupuncture a try because I figured that was like the most manly thing you could do in a spa is get needles stuck in you.
I would say a massage from another man, but you know, hey, whatever.
Right. And plus, like, I got a lot of wrist and arm pain ever since Ty was born. Because not just from the colossal amount of video games that I've been playing since I was, you know, 4 years old, but from carrying around Ty and stuff, like my wrist is just like, it feels like it's like sprained all the time, which is bad. So I told the woman to stick some needles in there, and she did, but it didn't really do anything. It was sort of like, I think it's sort of a scam, but I don't know. It's been around for like thousands of years, so I don't know. Maybe you have to do it more than once. It doesn't hurt, though. You don't even really feel it. It's just like a little pinch. Anyway, that was my Osaka and Kyoto weekend getaway. Sexy. It was a sexy getaway, Wombat.
It sounds it. I'm almost jealous that you didn't invite me to.
Well, you wouldn't have been sexy if you were there.
Says you.
Although, I showed the video that I made to Ron Workman, and he said, only you could make dirty sex... Dirty, kinky sex seems so unsexy.
I agree.
And I agree, too. Like, there's no way, like, I could make it sound sexy. And when you look at the pictures, it looks pretty awkward, too. Yeah. Anyway, Wombat, we have a lot of feedback from last week's show. People seem to really enjoy the show, especially the part where you called me out on my work ethic.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. Exactly. Let me read some of the comments about that. Virgil the Chicken says, listening to Wombat take CheapEDD to task after putting up with so much criticism over the years was hilarious. It was like Bizarro World there for a few minutes. Yeah, it did feel like Bizarro World, actually. PD Rose says, I loved Wombat's criticism of CheapEDD and how he's so lazy. I felt that CheapEDD just laughed it off, but he should really take it to heart. The 1UP PC podcast a couple weeks back was talking about how CheapEDD doesn't do any work while the forum posters do all the legwork in hunting for deals and CheapEDD sits back and rakes in the money. What does he do all day? He works from home, doesn't have to go to meetings, apparently doesn't do anything for the site other than a weekly podcast and sporadic posts, and he has the audacity to constantly talk about how he's always too busy and wants Osaka grandma to help take care of the kid. I'm not the only one who feels this way about CheapEDD either. GB doesn't owe us anything, of course, but he can clarify any misconceptions on the next podcast. It'll go a long way to restoring our opinion of him. The ironic thing is that in terms of humor and likability, I prefer Cheapy D, but much respect goes to Wombat for his work ethic. Plus, Wombat was awesome on the Player One podcast, so he definitely can be funny. Oh, Wombat, where do I begin? Well, first of all, let me talk about the 1UP PC podcast from a couple of weeks ago. I was interviewed for an article by, I think he's a freelance writer for 1UP, named Robert Ashley. And he was doing an article about gaming in the recession. He wanted to interview me about how people can save money, because obviously I would be a good person to talk to about that. And the first thing I said to him was, you know, I do have a few tips for you, but the reality of the situation is the best thing that I can tell anybody, and I know this is going to sound like, you know, a shameless plug, but the best tip is just go to Cheap Ass Gamer, because we tell you every deal that comes along. So for me to just give you some, you know, one-off tips, it's pointless, because, you know, it's like asking an expert on horse racing for tips on betting on horse races if there was a book that you could buy that would tell you every race outcome. You know, like, you would just buy the book.
I got lost somewhere around the horses.
Stop that. What I'm saying is, any tip that I can give you is not, no tip would be as good as just visit Cheap Ass Gamer and we tell you all the deals. I mean, that's the best tip I could possibly give you.
What does that have to do with you being lazy?
No, because he's talking about what this guy was saying about me on the 1UP PC podcast.
Yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that in the last week you've done zero blog posts.
Hold on, dude, I'm getting to that. I'm working my way up to that. So then the guy goes on the podcast and he says, oh, you know, GBD doesn't do anything. He just has everyone else post the deals. But the fact of the matter is, I created the freaking website. So don't tell me I don't do anything. I started a way that I can make a living. And that was a lot of work. You know how many nights where I've stayed up all night over the past 5 years, Wombat? Do you know how many nights I've stayed up all night because there were problems with the website and I'm trying to fix it? How many, Wombat, do you think?
I'm going to say maybe 10.
No, zero. But it could have been. It was almost one. No. I've had several nights where I've, you know, maybe slept for like an hour or two. Not so much recently because now we have super programmer John who does an awesome job and my shit is tight. But the fact is that the site is so popular that what am I supposed to do? Like, the deals are found by people before I get to them.
Hold on.
I still do plenty of work for the site, and you'd be surprised, you know, just posting deals on the front page, and I don't know. What else do I do on that? Doing the podcast is a lot of work. I do videos once in a while. Somehow the time does go by. Like, last week, I hardly played any games at all because I was just so busy, and Ty was sick for most of the week, homesick with me, so I couldn't do anything there. I was planning. You did actually motivate me. The point is that you did actually motivate me, Wombat. The problem was that I just didn't have a chance to do anything last week because Ty was sick.
And I kept saying to you, all you need to do is take a photograph of what you ate for dinner, post it in the blog.
I know, but I don't like to do that. That's not my thing, though. I like to have some quality there. I don't want to just do something. I never do anything.
So order something crazy.
I never do anything.
Look at the fish heads I had for dinner.
For the sake of just doing it, Wombat. I like to do quality.
You need to go to the frog sashimi bar that I
think about. I know. No, I have plenty of posts to do because I'm sort of behind now. But I did, PD Rose, I definitely did take Wombat's criticism to heart. And you will see some big changes. You're going to see some big changes in the site overall in hopefully the next week or two. I know we're behind.
You sound like
that.
An abusive boyfriend. I could change. I mean,
I can change. You know, the
I
fact
love you,
is,
baby.
I did hear what Robert Ashley said about me on the podcast, and, you know, he sounded a little bitter. I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to be entertaining for the show. Maybe he's a little jealous, and if he was, I wouldn't blame him. I mean, if he's not jealous, he should be jealous, because frankly, I'm an internet space pimp, and, you know, I got it going on. I got the best gig in the gaming industry. I guarantee it.
You
guarantee it. I do.
No one argues that with you, and everyone's jealous of you. Everyone.
Well, they should be. If they're not, they should be. Or unless you're, you know, of high moral character and you don't get jealous, which would be impressive. But maybe he was just trying to be entertaining. That's another possibility, and that's fine. I don't hold it against him, certainly. Let me read some more feedback. Thomas96 says, Wombat, your show performance was remarkable. Challenging Chibi to get off his lazy ass was the boldest thing I've ever heard you say on the show. It was the truth, and I'm glad you said it. Probably won't inspire him to do better. However, at least it's out in the open. Chibi, your show performance was decent. I was surprised to hear your take. What? I don't know what this says. That's enough. That's enough of his comment. Oh, he goes to say, also, Cheapy, have you sold out to Microsoft? You can't even be to the point and tell somebody how to get service from Microsoft. I guess you don't want to lose any Major Nelson achievement points. Once again, Wombat had to show that he had the balls to say what needed to be said. He's talking about how the guy called in, wrote in about his 360 that was broken but didn't have the three red rings, so he couldn't get the free repair. Yeah. It wasn't that I was afraid of upsetting Microsoft. I just, I was sort of joking about telling somebody to do something that was a little dishonest. Although someone on our site post wrote in saying that there's a log of all the errors that the 360 has. So
and I'm sure Jorge, when he's making the report afterwards, really takes note of these things.
Right, really checks the log. No, I had read on other forums that people sent their 360s in, just said they had the three red rings, didn't actually do it, and still got the repair.
Well, basically, this is how it works. Your Xbox goes to Mexico.
Once it gets to Texas, there. McAllen, Texas, I thought.
Oh, yeah, McAllen, Texas, wink, wink. And once it gets there, they take your broken Xbox, and they do start repairing it, but they don't repair it for you. What they're repairing it for is because it's going to be the refurb for probably the guy who sends in their Xbox like 10 after you.
No. People get back their own Xbox.
Yours comes in, they ship out another one right away. As soon as your Xbox makes it to McAllen, Texas, another refurbished one makes its way out to you right away.
That's not true, though, because people have gotten back their own.
I have it in three Xboxes.
I got mine back, but that's Japan. They definitely don't send that to Mexico.
Exactly. It goes down to not Mexico. As soon as they get it, another one just gets shipped straight out, and they just keep it a revolving door. That way there's no time lost.
Right. You're right. Anyway, it just makes sense. My point is that, first of all, I don't have any Major Nelson achievement points. In fact, you remember they did that the new dashboard preview where you could sign up for that?
Yes.
I had when Major Nelson mentioned that on his show, because I read about it on a blog somewhere, I sent him an email before they even opened up the applications. I sent him an email. I'm like, hey, don't forget your buddy Cheapy. I'd love to get in on some of that new dashboard stuff. Not only did I not get back in, I didn't even get an email back. So I don't have any Major Nelson achievement points, believe it or not. Anyway, there's a lot more comments about people who say I suck, basically, and I'm lazy. And you're right. And I will make an effort. You're going to see some output from me this week.
Because as soon as people start to resent you,
yeah,
that's when all the people that are finding all these deals for you stop finding all these deals.
No,
for you.
It, that's not how it works.
That is how it works. And then you have no deals on your website about deals. And dude, you know what happens then? Then people stop going to your website about deals that has no deals.
Right.
And then you have to find a real job.
Then I wind up becoming a freelance journalist for 1UP. And then I have to talk shit about other people who have their own websites.
Exactly. Then you become old and bitter.
Right. What else? Oh, we also talked about people enjoyed our discussion, or my discussion with myself, about Saints Row. Little Wildman says, Cheapy, I can't believe you talk so much about Saints Row 2 and didn't once use the famous big-ass chains line. That's my only gripe about the show this week, but it's still my favorite show so far. Yeah, one of the only problems with Saints Row 2 is they took out the big-ass chains. That was the name of one of the multiplayer modes from the first game.
I understand.
There's still big-ass chains, actually, in the game that you can buy for your character. And also, we got a nice mention on the Saints Row 2 official website, the official game website, the community manager. Wait, I'm going to give him a shout-out right now because he wrote me a very nice email. His name is... What is his name? I don't know. Jay. This is his first initial, I guess. I don't know what his first name is. But he said he's the community manager for Volition, who the developers of Saints Row, and they love the he loves the CAD cast and loves Cheap Ass Gamer and was very glad.
He also goes by V Singular. That's his name on the forums. I'm looking at it now.
Right. And he posted the picture of my CheapED character in Saints Row and my sweet whip that I got in there. And a link to the CADcast. So it was very, it was a very nice honor to be mentioned on the official site of a game that I really like a lot.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever been mentioned on an official video game website.
What did you say? You said that there should be corn in the duty that you spray or something?
Yes, yes.
Yes, that was good. That was good. Noed Scow writes in and says, Cheapy, now that you've been featured on the official Saints Row 2 homepage, do you think that your character could become a main story character in Saints Row 3? Now that you know that you have listeners from the Saints Row team there, could that be a possibility for you to persuade the developers into making you an in-game character? Probably not. That'd
but
be great, though.
It would be
though.
Cool.
That would be good. That would be
awesome.
Like,
you could be the cranky Jew that owns a pawn shop.
I would love that. I already am a cranky Jew. I just
I know,
don't own a pawn shop.
You're there.
Right.
But that would be a good... That's a stereotype that's probably missing from Saints Row.
Yeah, there's no Jew stereotype in Saints
there's
Row.
There's no Jew-owning pawn shop in the ghetto in Saints Row.
No Shylocks.
Exactly.
All
way
right,
to
Wombat.
Perpetuate stereotypes. Go us!
Let's move on to some CAG news-ish. I want to remind people to vote for us on the Podcast Awards at podcastawards.com. I think the voting ends November 6th, and you can vote for us in the People's Choice and in the gaming categories, and you can vote once a day. But what day is today? Today's the 4th or the 5th, I guess, depending on what part of the world you're located in. I don't know. It's a tough group out there this year. I don't know if we're going to be able to take either of these categories, Mom.
And not releasing a show on a regular schedule may not have
right,
helped.
Right, that didn't help either.
No.
But what are you going to do? Hopefully
Nothing.
We can win.
You Nothing. Just don't want me to get a trophy, I know.
Right. I'll break this trophy in half and send you part of it. I also want to mention, you probably noticed that we had promised the new CAG features coming in October, and that did not happen. Thorbon3 writes in and says, what happened to that October release for the CAG game database? Looks like Wombat called it. Well,
that's just Wombat... for having all these meetings about it without me.
Yeah, well, what can I say? Super Programmer John is working hard. You know what happens? He keeps adding new features. And that's why it never gets done. He just keeps adding stuff to it. But,
and you haven't done anything to help it either.
Well, I help. I give ideas. I mean, I don't know how to program anything. So that's sort of a that's the hard part. That's the part that he probably needs help with. The actual tough part. Anyway, Wombat, let's do some game shopping news and the best of the Sunday video game ad deals from November 2nd to November 8th. Shout out to Speedy1961 and Dr. Darkstrife for hooking it up. Over at Best, well, let me just give you the good ones. Crisis Warhead is at Best Buy for $20 for the PC. And you can also get that at Amazon, too. They match that deal. Same with NHL 09 for $30. Amazon matched that, too. The best deal of the week is over at Circuit City. If you buy Gears of War 2, the regular or limited editions, you get a free 1600 point card, Xbox Live point card.
Yes.
Which is a great deal. Also at Circuit City, you can get Resistance 2 with a $10 gift card. Spend that card fast if you haven't noticed that Circuit City is closing 155 stores. Things are not looking good for them. So don't. If you have a ton of Circuit City gift cards, I wouldn't be sitting on them for very long. Also, Circuit City's got the first Resistance for $20. You may want to check that out. And Target has got buy two Wii games, get one free for $50 and under games. And Toys R Us has buy Gears of War 2 or the new Bond game, you get a free $15 gift card.
Wait, you don't know how to pronounce Quantum of Solace?
Right. Exactly. I like soul ass.
After doing this show, I need a quantum of solace.
Right. I'm a soul ass. All right. Let's move on to the new releases while I'm at, because there are quite a few. And once again, I guess no CAG foreplay this week or no, a later one, I think. Maybe later. I think they're doing it maybe today or tomorrow.
Or
Shipwreck, yeah. Shipwreck has major computer problems, and he lost everything that he worked on, I think, from August till now on his computer. The weird thing is, you know, he's got a MacBook. He bought the Time Capsule, which is a combination wireless router and hard drive, you know, big hard drive, so you can, you know, use Time Machine on the Mac for easy backups. But it only works if you turn it on. So he wound up turned it off in August. That was the last time he turned it on.
Well, that's not too bright now, is it?
No. So he lost everything.
Well, I guess he learned his lesson.
Yeah, and he had done a ton of of previews for the games, and he wrote about
a lot of mobile cell phone games.
A lot of mobile cell phone reviews that didn't get posted. I know people wanted to see that Paris Hilton Bejeweled game review. Anyway, let's go to the new releases for this week because there are some big ones. We mentioned the Bond game, Quantum of Solace, which has been getting. It sounds like it's a fun game, probably worth a rental, but you know, just maybe a little bit above average or average, which is fine. Like I like a nice average shooter, just that you can blow through and, you know, not dedicate a huge amount of time to, just some mindless fun. I'll probably check that out. I've liked all the recent Bond games have all been pretty good, actually, although this is the first
Well, the GoldenEye remake, or not remake, non-make, was pretty crappy.
Well, what's that?
The GoldenEye one that came out.
Oh, yeah.
That game
but
was
the,
awful.
The two before that were good. The Agent Under Everything or Nothing and From Russia with Love?
Yeah.
Yeah, those two were good. When they went to the third person, EA went to the third person ones. Those were both good. You should actually check those out if you're still playing.
This is not an EA game.
What's that?
This is Quantum of Solace. Is not EA.
No, I know. This is Activision's first shot.
And it's on the Call of Duty engine.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, so that's one of the new releases this week. The big one, of course. Let's see, a few big ones this week. You got Gears of War 2 for Xbox 360, which... Man, that looks pretty awesome. I mean,
looks pretty sweet. If only I wasn't broke.
Oh, bum 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 bum. I ordered it.
Good for you.
Play Asia. I look forward to playing it, but I guess I'm not allowed to play it. I have too much work to do on CAG.
That is right. Once you finish your homework, then you can play your games. I'm not really too fretting about it too much either. To be perfectly honest, I have so many other games to play.
It's crazy. All these games keep coming out. Like, who's got time for all this?
Yeah.
It's nuts. So you got Gears of War 2. It's been getting great reviews, you know, nines and up. They say basically it's, you know, just it's an upgrade from the first game. It's not like an earth-shattering upgrade, but, you know, there's some neat new online modes. There's a mode called Horde, which is a co-op mode that you can play and just battle wave and wave of enemy after another. It just goes forever. Sounds like a lot of fun. Looking forward to giving that a shot. Also, of course, Resistance 2 is this week, is it not?
Yes, it is.
It is, of course, and it's been getting very good reviews. I have not bought it, though, somehow. I don't know. I haven't finished the first one yet. I'm, like, so close to finishing the first one. But I guess I'll get it eventually. It's just, I don't know. Not just, like you said, there's so many games.
I have not picked this up for the same reason I haven't picked up Gears yet.
Yeah, just so many games. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to buy it now, and maybe you'll be able to play, like, an hour or two. But, you know, I still haven't finished Saints Row yet.
I did finish Fable.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Also this week is the AC/DC Live Track Pack for Rock Band. That's a Walmart exclusive. And that's out, I guess, for everything. Pretty much. Anything else, though? Naruto Storm for PlayStation 3. I don't know. Endwar is out this week. I don't know. Let's Shipwreck take care of this
business. Yeah, that's his job, not ours.
Yeah, we're a little behind, I think, because I had so many stories this morning. What else? Let's go right into Microsoft.
All right.
I know the Banjo... demo came out. Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts came out. It was like a surprise demo.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. I was pleasantly surprised to see it.
You gave it a shot?
I did.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed the game very much. In fact, I pre-ordered it after playing the demo. Being lucky enough to actually, I won my first prize ever on Cheap Ass Gamer, and I was able to use that to pre-order the Banjo-Kazooie. I did play the demo. I liked it a lot. Did you play it at all?
I didn't. I mean, I played it at E3 very briefly, or you know,
the vehicle building is really easy, and the physics are not realistic, but realistic in a cartoony way, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, it has cartoon physics. I need to thank Pop311 for entering me in the contest and Joshing it for the prize anyway.
Right. Now the game is $40.
The game is $40, so it's already a budget title. It's actually on sale already at Amazon for $37.
And if you pre-order, you get the code for the Xbox Live Arcade version of the original Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes. So all those reasons, plus the demo, I have a feeling playing the demo is a pretty good representation of what the final game will be like. I mean, they kind of give you a little bit of everything. You get to play around with the vehicle building. You get to go into one of the first world and really play around and get some of the puzzle pieces. You also get to see what the overworld is kind of like. I mean, they lock off certain things, but playing around with the vehicles that I made and taking them onto the test track was actually kind of fun. Like,
right.
they don't give you many parts in the demo, but I added two propellers to the back of my little sled vehicle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up a ramp, and my car went off the ramp, but since the propellers were in the back, the car just kept going up and up and up and up, and it was actually pretty funny just to watch the chaos ensue.
Right, so, there are a shit ton of parts. I mean, when we saw it at E3, Shipwreck and I took a look at it. It was thousands and thousands. I think it was like 5,000 parts, if I'm not mistaken.
That's cool. So the game has, you know, it has a lot going for it. It's a budget title. It could be, you know, maybe it's Rare's return to making good games again. Although the Viva Pinata games are pretty good. It's just, you know, it seemed like it would be a fun game to play. To go back to last week, I had a lot of fun playing the demo. I found myself playing it for almost 2 hours. I'm like, you know what? This is a good game and something I may enjoy. I'm going to pick it up.
Cool. But it's not really like Banjo, right?
I mean, no, it's not really. I mean, it has some platformy moments, but for the most part, I mean, a lot of it takes place in vehicle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're doing chores in a vehicle, you know, tasks in a vehicle.
I did races, actually. The demo has a handful of races. But but it's fun. I mean, they're not regular races. I mean, there are other things to do in them. It just seemed nice. Really,
yep.
That was it.
The big news for Microsoft this week, pretty much, is the new dashboard, like we talked about earlier, is now available for a lot of people who, you know, a lot of people in the media have gotten their hands on it. Not us. I guess we're not important enough. But some people who applied for the early access got in, although it seems like very few people actually got in, given the number of people that applied. Because just judging from the people who posted on the CAG forums, you know, a very small percentage got in. And actually, I went on Major Nelson's blog and looked through the comments. Boy, people would get nasty when they don't get what they want. They were very upset. But either way, we got to see other people's impressions of the new dashboard. And it seems like they're almost all overwhelmingly positive.
I can imagine that people would like it. It looks cool from everything I've seen about it. It's free, and people like things that are fun and free.
Yeah, it's faster. It's the avatars seem to be fun. The Netflix thing people like. People seem to like that a lot. We can watch the Netflix movie, and it's going to have HD support, which is very cool. Man, I would definitely sign up for Netflix if it worked, if there was no IP restrictions on that, but I'm not very hopeful.
I've heard mixed on the selection.
Yeah, well, you'll see that the selection will only get bigger, so. There's the option to install the games on your hard drive. I've read a lot, I was very interested in that, how that works, so I read a lot of coverage about that feature specifically. It seems to me that the real benefit of going through the trouble of installing the game on the hard drive is that your 360 won't sound like a vacuum cleaner anymore when you're playing games. The load time, the speeding up of the load time seems to be basically insignificant. you know, a few seconds here, a few seconds there.
I was going to say, but I think in certain games, if it really does increase the load time speed significantly, it would definitely be worth downloading for certain games. Fable 2, I'm looking at you.
It doesn't seem to really do that. I mean, it doesn't seem to help all that much. Although, one of the things that I really became aware of while playing Fable 2 was how noisy the 360 is. Because, you know, any game that focuses a lot on atmosphere, you know, you hear that 360, it really sucks you out of the game. You know, it sounds like a vacuum cleaner, and it sucks you out of the game.
So you started Fable.
I started Fable, yeah. Oh, did I not played it?
No, you hadn't.
I did. I had played a little bit of it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. What do you think?
It's cool. I mean, I like the combat. The combat's a lot of fun. I only got to the first hero. You know, we unlocked the woman.
The big gal?
The big gal. It's fun. I really like it. I just haven't had any chance to play it, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to play it without my wife being around.
Oh, that's right. You did mention that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
That, you know, to me, like, I would definitely, if I had a big enough hard drive, which I don't think I do, I would install Fable because the sound of the Xbox is so annoying.
Yeah.
And a game like Dead Space, there's another game where it's all atmosphere and you wind up having to turn up the volume to compensate for the Xbox's noise. You know, and so then it becomes the question for me. I'm thinking, all right, this sounds like I'd love to not have a noisy Xbox, but am I going to go buy a 120 gigabyte hard drive just so I don't have a noisy Xbox?
I don't know. Yeah, and I too would love a larger hard drive. My hard drive is even running out of space. I mean, I check it out, it has like three gigs.
But you probably don't delete old game data on there.
I do. I've been clearing out stuff.
You deleted like old like Rainbow Six maps and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, really?
You suggested I do that before, so I did it, and it helped temporarily.
I see.
And now I'm right back where I was, where I'm afraid to download more stuff because my hard drives feel smaller and smaller, and a new hard drive is just too expensive on the stupid system.
Maybe a 60 gigabyte one is more reasonable. I don't know.
They're coming out with that $100 pack, but I don't need another headset or whatever else
chat
it comes
pad.
With.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need an pad. Ethernet cable.
Right. I don't know. So it seems like, you know, that feature is good just for the fact, just to compensate for one of the big flaws of the 360. But let's see. And what are the other big features? The party system stuff sounds cool. I mean, I don't know if that's, I haven't really read too much about that. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun to make an avatar and stuff. Oh, it seems like everybody agrees, and I guess we don't know if this is going to be any change for the actual launch, but everybody seemed to agree that the selection of clothing for the avatars was very limited. Like, there's only like 30 or 40 different pieces of clothing. They said there's a lot of different choices for like the body parts. But the actual clothing, you know, everyone's going to start looking the same because they're going to want to sell you the different clothing.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Have you ever bought, paid for a gamer pick?
No.
No, you answered that question very quick.
Yes,
very quick.
I knew what you were asking. The answer is no.
I bought one. I bought the Transformers one. The old school Transformers one.
Yeah.
Anyway, King Brawley writes in and says, I was wondering what percentage of 360 owners you think will get the new dashboard will install games to their hard drive and then trade them in or sell them, thinking they no longer need the games to play them. And then he gives me a link to a post on NeoGAF, which says, my friend installed the dashboard update, installed all of his games to the hard drive, and just called me now, happy as Shaq Fu. Thanks for telling me about how to get that update on my Xbox. I just went into GameStop and traded in all of my games after installing them. This is awesome. So he's going to be in for a nice surprise when he goes trying to play those games without the discs.
Oh, so you need to put the disc in and then...
Oh, yeah. You need to have the disc.
Well, it makes sense. I just...
The disc is like the copy protection.
Yeah, I got it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a smart idea.
Yeah, and Frisky Tanuki writes in about the dashboard. He says, it seems like clockwork that after releasing the extremely limited early preview for the new dashboard update, it was available on the internet for people to download and install on their own Xbox 360s. Though there's a catch, since Microsoft has a list of the approved Xbox 360s that were allowed to be on Live with a new update, everybody else that installed it cannot access Live for the next 2 or 3 weeks, which means that they'd miss playing big games online like Gears of War 2 and anything recent that they've bought. Is there any sane reason to be installing this update on anything but an approved console? Except maybe those who aren't online. Is there any possible way that you take this kind of bullet? No, because a lot of, if you aren't on an approved console, you actually miss out on most of the functionality. I think the only thing that you can do is install games on the hard drive. You can't do Netflix stuff. Obviously, if you can't go on Xbox Live, you can't do anything really. So, no, it's definitely not worth doing.
No, I agree.
So let's see. I'm looking here. You finished Fable.
I did. I haven't finished a game in a long time, so it's kind of a big deal.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I really, really enjoyed playing this game. I just had a lot of fun, going through the side missions kind of sucked me in. I finally got my character from being a fat tub to being kind of skinny. It just was a lot of, it didn't feel like it took a long time, but I definitely put a lot of hours into it. I made a good
How
amount
many
of money.
Do you know?
I don't know. I'd have to double check, but I mean, I spent days playing it, and it was just a good, and I even started up a second character like as soon as I finished.
Cool.
And I like that you can keep a second. You could keep multiple characters at the same time.
Can you take your once you finish the game, you're done. Like you can't.
No,
keep the character.
Your character still lives in the still lives. I mean, it's basically if like a side quest that you didn't finish, the vast majority of them are still there.
Oh,
the
cool.
The jobs that you could do don't go away. Like you could still be do the bounty hunter jobs and the blacksmith job and the bar job. You could still earn money. You could still buy stuff. And the game doesn't end just because the story does. The
so
game
it's like Oblivion.
Just like Oblivion. It just keeps going, and you could, I guess, theoretically play it forever if you wanted to. And my guy's now at a point where I think he makes, 2,500 gold every hour or whatever it is.
Wow.
So he's just raking in the money, and it's great because the game makes money even when it's not on.
That's awesome. I gotta play this game.
If I were to turn it on now, my guy would be loaded. So
yes.
It's nice. Yeah, my guy's a pimp. He wears his wizard outfit. He wears his red wizard outfit because I dyed his outfit red and rocks
around. You like
around
the dress up.
I do like the dress up. So I enjoyed that game very much. Of course, it kept me away from playing Fallout 3.
Aha, but it didn't stop you altogether.
No, I put in I got past that, basic tutorial thing that I am sure you saw at E3.
I haven't played it yet. I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, I thought you played some at E3.
Oh, yeah, right, sorry.
Okay, are you familiar with the tutorial thing at all? Yeah.
You start in the vault.
Yes. I really haven't gotten much further than getting out of the vault and into the first major town.
Okay, so maybe we'll talk about it next week when we've had a chance to play.
Yeah,
what I will say
about it now is that, a lot of people said, oh my god, you're going to love it because it's going to be like Oblivion but with guns. And so far, and yes, I haven't gotten very far into the game. I may be 3 hours into the game, maybe 4. It hasn't quite sucked me in yet, and I keep waiting for it to suck me in, but just something about it so far just doesn't feel right for me.
Right. Well, I think you like the fantasy environment more than you like the post-apocalyptic
I thought that might be it too, but I don't think that's what it is. I think there's a difference in pacing.
All right.
And
I'll
combat.
See.
But, I mean, yeah, but like I said, I felt the same way also about Knights of the Old Republic. It took me 5 hours before I started to like that game. Same thing with Mass Effect. I, played that game up to a point, up until you got to the first, major city space station thing. Decided it was boring, didn't touch it again for a month, and then I played it and thought it was the best game I played of the year. So we'll see what happens with me with Fallout 3.
Cool. We'll talk about that next week. It should be. It actually tried to deliver it yesterday, but I was out. But I should be getting it today. Let's move on to Sony Wombat.
Yeah.
We could have talked about this under Microsoft too, because they both got the Mirror's Edge demo. Did you have a chance to check that out?
No, I didn't get a chance to download that yet.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I wound up playing it on my PS3, like I said. It's very similar. It's the, you know, it has the it's got the same level that I played at Tokyo Game Show, but it has a tutorial that they did not have at Tokyo Game Show. And this is the perfect example. Remember how I always say that when you play games at a show, you're getting like just a fraction of the experience because you're standing, you know, you're standing 3 inches from a giant television. You can't hear it. You know, there's a lot of distractions. You're not comfortable. The experience was with this game. It was so different, and it was just some simple little thing that you can hear your character running. Because, you know, like the deal with this game is that you're like a free runner.
Yeah.
You know, you do all these, you know, you're running
parkour
on the tops of buildings.
The word is parkour.
Right. So you're doing that, and while your character is running, they build up speed. But it's a very subtle difference. One that is made, you can notice more easily by the sounds that the game makes. You know, it's like the whoosh of the air going by you. And the footsteps. And that's something you just can't experience playing this at a trade show. And it made all the difference. It made the game easier to play. It sounds weird, but when you're jumping, you know, when you're trying to make like a big jump off the roof, you can sort of tell if you have enough speed or not by the sound that they, you know, that your character is making. So I really enjoyed the demo. The game looks pretty cool. It's another game coming out this holiday season that, you know, added to the list of games that are looking really good. Definitely download the demo and give it a try. It's a first person shooter without the shooter. You know, you're just mostly running and evading.
First person adventure.
Yeah, there's some hand to hand combat. I guess there is some shooting in the game. But it's a, you know, mostly just, you know, running and jumping and some light puzzle solving, I guess. Looks great, though. I really like the art style. You know, here's a game that maybe I'll buy the PlayStation 3 version. People always complain that I don't I always buy the Xbox 360 version. But, I don't know, for a game like this, like the controller, I prefer the 360 controller, but I think the PS3 controller would be fine for this game for me.
Wow.
Right. Big statement, huh?
Ooh, yeah. What did I play on my PS3 this week? Anything? I don't think I turned it on. Well, I really just played Fable 2 this week. I mean, I really did. I like completely just got completely immersed into it and just said, I'm finishing this game. And I did. And I was impressed with myself. So.
I forgot. I didn't have a chance. I knew the monster, Pixel Junk Monster patch is out.
Oh, is it? I didn't even turn that. Yeah, I need to get that too.
I need to get that. They announced the BioShock download. I guess it's PS3 exclusive downloadable content, right?
Yeah, it is.
Coming November 20th for $10. What's the story with that? Challenge rooms?
Yeah, it's three different basic, challenges. And what you get is, I like this one, sounds kind of cool, where you have to save a little sister that's trapped in a Ferris wheel.
Oh.
And then there's another one where you have limited resources to take down a big daddy using traps.
Do you get a lot of stuff for your $10?
You get three different rooms, but I don't know how long it takes to solve the rooms. One of them is, and the last one, called World of Hurt, where you battle through eight rooms of Big Daddy's splicers and the worst Rapture has to offer. So that sounds like some sort of survival mode. So there's like two puzzly challenge rooms and one kind of a survival room.
Gotcha. Well, you have BioShock
cool.
For PS3, don't you?
No, mine's the 360 version that I got when the game came out a year ago in August.
Okay. I thought you had that. I thought you somehow got like you glommed a version of that for free. No,
not so.
No,
lucky.
I guess I'm thinking of something else. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Pure?
I don't know. Anyway, Little Big Planet Wombat, some new feature coming to the game. You'll be able to import images, so you won't have to...
I thought that was already debunked.
It was?
Yeah, I believe that was debunked.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I read that. Here, I'll go to N4G. See, this is how we do the show here, folks.
By the seat of our pants?
By the seat of our pants. By the seat of your pants, listeners.
My pants. Right.
But I believe that that was debunked and that's not actually happening. And that Sony has denied.
Because right now you can, if you have a camera, you know, the PlayStation Eye, or maybe any USB camera, I'm not sure, probably any USB camera, you can just take a picture and then you can put it in the game, which is pretty cool. I don't know. Wombat says that it's that you won't be able to import pictures. So I don't know who to believe. So I've just told
probably
you the story.
Probably not me, but wow, right. I can't even find the article I read earlier today about it anymore. Boo!
Anyway, so. More importantly, Wombat, let's talk about downloadable content in Little Big Planet.
Sure.
Because I liked your article on your UGO blog.
Yeah, that kind of sucks, doesn't it?
So what are they doing? Since you wrote an article about it, why don't you talk about it?
Okay, so here's how they're going to do it. Now, as you notice, there's a lot of things you can add in to the game, like, you know, with stickers and things. But something that you can't make on your own for your levels is you can't make all your own costumes.
Right.
Right. So at least I don't think you can.
No.
What? No, you can't? Okay. The reason why that might be is because they're going to sell you costumes. Now, right. Starting next week, or is it starting today?
You can get. It's this week, yeah.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. You can get the Halloween costume only a week late for your Sackboy, which would be a pumpkin head, and that's free.
Which and is weird because it's out in Japan. It came out last week in Japan.
And also the astronaut costume. Those two will be free. Now, after
those are
that,
free, and those are rewards because the servers didn't work.
Now, after that, they're going to start releasing other costumes that are going to cost $1 each. You're ringing.
Wow. No, $2 each, I thought.
No. Basic costumes cost $1. Things like the gorilla and the frog, those are going to cost $1 each. Now, if you want to get, like, the Solid Snake one or the Sephiroth one.
Right, yeah.
Those cost $2 each.
Ay, ay, ay.
So there's different pricing depending on, basically, I guess, how Sony feels people are going to want that costume. They also are going to be selling bundles where I think you get, like, four of the dollar ones for $3 and four of the $2 ones for $6 or something like that.
Yeah, it's four premiums for six and three.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind that none of these costumes will change the way your game plays in any way, shape, or form.
Wait, but what? You didn't mention the rare Sackboy costumes.
Yes, there are also rare Sackboy costumes that will have a third price that has yet to be announced.
Right, so get ready to bend over and spread them.
Ugh, it's frightening.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's sort of shady because the game is all about, you know, it's create, play, share, right? Except you can't create the costumes because they want to sell them to you.
Yes, it is shady and it sucks.
It definitely sucks. I'm not buying any costumes, I'll tell you that right now. I wonder how many. I mean, I haven't played the game all that much. I mean, I've played the single player, I don't know, maybe like an hour, and I don't feel like I've really unlocked very many costumes.
Oh, here's the article right here, by the way. Currently no plans for Little Big Planet image importing.
Okay.
So
we'll see. I mean, we need, by the way, we need to play Little Big Planet together.
Yeah, we do. Maybe tomorrow.
I got to get I have the crappy Warhawk headset, but I'm thinking about buying the new headset that just came out.
I either use my crappy Warhawk one when I can get it to work, which is about half the time.
Right, because it sucks.
Yeah, or I use my Silcom headset from my PlayStation 2.
Yeah. That thing's deteriorated. I can't really use it anymore. I think I may buy, if I see it in a store somewhere, I may make a little impulse purchase for the SOCOM Bluetooth headset. I don't think I'm very interested in the SOCOM game, though. I heard it's working now, though. It works? So,
yeah, that's what I heard.
I don't know. I think I have enough. I'm pretty busy with a lot of the other games. I don't know. It's going to be pretty low on the list.
Yeah, no, that doesn't even rank, honestly. As much as I would say I would like, it's just not.
Right.
Yeah.
As much as I love the original SOCOM for PS2. And
it's just not happening.
Played it nonstop. It's just, it sort of doesn't seem like it's that much different. On some other Sony PlayStation news, Burnout Paradise. We know that EA has released two full retail games for download on the PlayStation Network, NFL head coach and Burnout Paradise. Do you know how many times how many copies they sold of Burnout Paradise?
20,000.
That's right. 20,000. Is that good? I don't know.
I have no idea. It doesn't sound very good, though, does it?
It doesn't sound great, but it's a 30. It's 30 bucks. I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. Make your own judgments if that's good or not.
I mean, I'd like to make that much money, but...
Right, but, you know, you're not a game.
I am not a game. Well, it depends on who you ask.
Right, that's true. And lastly, in Sony news, there's an analyst for... An analyst, Wanda Maloney, and I know, Wanda, you love analysts. You love when I talk about analysts. And she works for DFC Intelligence, which they do. They do marketing research for video game industries. That's all they do. She thinks that the PS3 will never break even in its lifetime because they're just in such a big hole right now. I think they're down in like a $3 billion hole.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
You know what they should do? I know that George W. Bush is going to be looking for work soon. And right. If anyone can help with their deficit, he can.
I think he's got enough money. He doesn't need to work.
No, I don't think so either.
Anyway, I know. I sort of agree. I mean, right now, look, Sony's in sort of a difficult position. I mean, first of all, because they're a Japanese company and they rely upon export for a lot of their money, the yen is so much stronger than the dollar right now. That does not help them. That is very detrimental. For Nintendo, it's not good for them either, but they're selling a shitload of systems. So it's less of a problem. And now that the 360's got that price drop, very aggressive price drop, Sony's not doing a price drop anytime soon because they're already losing so much money, they can't.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens this holiday season. I mean, you got to think that Microsoft is going to have a great holiday season, and so is Nintendo, and Sony's going to be in last place this holiday. We don't know. We'll see. Yeah. We got to see what happens.
We don't know that for a fact, but they do. Their console's very expensive, and
right. They've got some good games.
And, yeah.
This holiday season is going to see some nice releases for the PS3, but you know when that shot, you know, the economy is in a bad place right now, and people walk into that store and you know they see a $200, you know that $200 Xbox 360. I don't know. They may have to go for that. They're not going to know it. They may not know what Blu-ray is. They may not care what Blu-ray is. I still think a lot of people don't care. People listening to the show care, but, you know, sadly, you guys don't really matter all that much. I mean, you matter to me and Wombat, but...
Well, they matter to you.
Right. All right, let's move on to Nintendo, Wombat.
Yes.
The DSi came out in Japan on Saturday.
Did you get one?
I got one.
How is it?
I'll tell you, I ordered it from Amazon Japan. I was able to get in on the pre-order. They sold out in like 5 minutes, but I, you know, since I do nothing all day, I just sat at the computer and kept hitting refresh. And I was able to order it. And it came on Saturday. It actually came right before we were leaving for my sexy adventure. So I got to check it out after
2 minutes of pleasure, you were able to go, okay, DS time.
No, because I left it at home.
Oh,
it actually showed. I didn't want to bring it with me on the trip. Is you know what? Because I made an unboxing video, which I have to work on after I finish working on this show. I don't know. The DSi to me seems like something that's really just not necessary. Like there was no reason to make this product except so that they can sell you some downloadable games. You know, to try to get in on that whole market.
It sounds about right, yeah.
It's really just, you know, DS Lite version 1.25.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's a little smaller and a little lighter, and the screen is a little bigger. But none of those things are like, you're not going to pick this thing up and be like, oh my God, it's so much smaller, it's so much lighter, the screen is just, wow. You're not going to do it. I mean, what you're going to do is you're going to take your DS Lite, and you're going to take your DSi, and you're going to hold them next to each other, and you're going to be like, all right, yeah, I can see it's a little different, but, you know, it's certainly not the leap that the DS Lite was over the original DS. I mean, that's a huge difference. It's a, you know, the screen is way better, and the machine is much smaller and lighter. You know, this one is not. So, you know, so there are a few differences, of course. You've got two cameras on the DSi. And one is on, one is right in the middle next to the microphone, you know, when you open up the DS, and one is on the cover. Now, if you remember when they announced the DSi, people were writing, oh, it's, you know, the outside camera is 3 megapixels and the inside one is the low res one, but the outside one is 3 megapixels. And I was like telling everybody on this show, you're wrong. You're wrong. And they were wrong. It's the same 0.3 megapixel camera on the outside and on the inside. Very low resolution. You know, an iPhone 3G, which doesn't have, or a regular iPhone, doesn't have a great camera. And that's a 2 megapixel camera. And this is not even a half a megapixel. So very low res. The other changes are, it's got an, instead of the GBA slot, you've got the, you've got an SD slot, SD card slot. So the system itself has a, like a new operating system, like a new menu system in the beginning, in, you know, when you fire it up, and you have like three things in there that are different. You've got the sound area, the picture area, and you have like the online store area. So with the sound area, what you can do is you can record yourself using the microphone, and then you can manipulate your voice afterwards. You know, does that sound exciting to you?
Oh, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I was napping.
I could even do like a sample right now if you wanted to hear it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Let me see. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. I'm getting it ready. Okay. So what you can do is you record yourself. I'm going to say why. Oh, wait. I got to say start. Okay. Whoops. I screwed it up.
This is
Hello, Wombat. This Hello. Is me making a test on the DSi. Okay.
Hello.
So now, once you record it, you can manipulate it.
Hello, Wombat. This is me making a test on the DSi.
Hello, Wombat. This is me making a test on the DSi.
Hello,
Wombat. See? Pretty exciting, huh, Wombat?
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, so basically what you do is you have like a little grid and you can drag a box around and you can speed it up, slow it down, and change the pitch, and add some different effects. It's, you know, it's like kids stuff, basically. It's like it's stuff that you could entertain like a five-year-old with, I guess. So it could be useful for that. Same thing with the camera stuff. You can take a picture of yourself and there's different effects that you can, you know, you can stretch your face out like a funhouse mirror, you know, and save the pictures. There's actually some internal memory on the DS, so you don't need to have an SD card. But it's kids stuff. It's not game stuff, right? I mean, there's supposed to be some game. I'm sure there'll be some games that take advantage of the camera, but I don't know. It doesn't seem very exciting to me. The store is supposed to be selling some games, and I don't know, they've announced some sort of like Wario games, but right now all you can do is you can download the browser, the internet browser, for free. And, you know, browsing on the DS is still not exactly what you would call a great experience, Wombat. It's still pretty slow.
I wouldn't expect much from it.
Yeah, I mean, I tried out a Super Mario Brothers, new Super Mario Brothers, to see if I could really tell a difference on the bigger screen, and you know, you can't really. It's not much. It's not that noticeable. I do like the nice matte black finish. It's pretty nice looking, and it's fingerprint proof basically. But if you have a DS Lite, there's really not much reason to get this unless you're so in love with Nintendo that you need to download their little games that they're going to be releasing. But I don't know. Right now, I'm very underwhelmed with the DSi, and I would just say don't be too sad that you're not going to be seeing this in America until the middle of next year, because it ain't all that, Wombat.
It makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah, it should. It really should, Wombat. One last thing for Nintendo, and then we'll move on to Kegs on News.
Hey, I had something for Nintendo also. That's not very nice.
Oh, lay it on me, babe.
That's not cool at all. So
lay it on me.
So Mrs. Wombat is watching The Gossip Girl. If you've ever watched Gossip Girl, it's about a bunch of skinny girls and their gay boyfriends. Okay. And so she's watching that. And during one of the commercials, Liv Tyler comes on, and she's playing Millionaire on the DS. That's the commercial.
Oh, I think I might have seen that commercial.
Yeah.
It's with her friend?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't even know that was her.
That's Liv Tyler. Now, it turns out that my wife is a fan of The Game Millionaire, which I did not know. So right. Now, not only that, is she a fan of the game, but now they're advertising it to her during one of her shows, which meant that I had to use the last bit of my traded money that I had left on my card at the GameStop and get her Millionaire because she dragged me.
Wait a minute. But you just said she was a fan of Millionaire.
She is a fan of Millionaire. She liked the game, so we had to buy it for the DS.
How did she know about the game, though?
Because she saw the commercial.
Oh, because she was a fan?
She played it on the PC version.
Oh, okay. Like I didn't even know there was a
free PC version that you can play, like an MSN games and all that crap.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yes, it's one of those. So we had to go and get it for her. Which is fine, and she loves it. So she told me that I had to mention on the show how much she loves Millionaire, and then
what is it?
It's a combination of like a. It's been basically at heart, it's a puzzle game where you have to find. I may be describing it all wrong, but you need to find shapes and things in a like it's a picture, but the picture's all cluttered, and you have to find shapes and items within the cluttered room picture.
Like those bar games.
Yeah, sort of. It's so similar to that in a way. You can get items that help you find things better, like flashlights and, I don't know, other types of lights.
Right.
But
I understand.
Great because she really likes the game, and she'll sit on the couch and play that, and that's why I was able to finish Fable 2. That was a long way to go for that, wasn't it?
No, I'll tell you what's interesting is that the other day I was watching some Slingbox. You know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to tell you what I was watching. This is one of the days I think that Ty was home and he was like sleeping on my chest or something. So I couldn't really do anything except watch TV. So I was watching I turned on the Slingbox and I started watching celebrity wrestling with Hulk Hogan.
Very nice.
And basically every commercial was for Nintendo. I mean, every commercial. Every commercial break, there was at least one Nintendo commercial. And I saw that commercial. It was ridiculous.
You know what commercial you didn't see?
Which one?
The one with the chimpanzee for Samba de Amigo.
Oh, I didn't see that, huh?
No, you won't be seeing that one.
No, well, that's a nice lead-in to our Kegs on News, Wombat. What's the story with that?
Okay, now this is probably one of the most, like, you thought I was annoyed about the downloadable content, but I was really mad at this story. So it turns out that there was a commercial, which you could see on YouTube, you could see it on the games blog, I posted it, where it's for Samba de Amigo, and it's a family playing a game, and of course there's a chimpanzee in their house that's playing the maracas too. So someone at PETA sees it and writes an angry letter to Sega saying, "Don't you know how these chimpanzee actors are treated? They're treated terribly and they're abused, and take down this commercial right away." And without hesitation, Sega takes the commercial off the air, and then PETA goes off and literally sends emails to every major blog, because you could read it in the blog posts on a lot of them, how they say, "Oh, we received this email from PETA telling us this story, and we think it's great." So here's my problem. First of all, when tens of thousands of fans complain to Sega that a Golden Axe game without co-op is not worth releasing, they don't listen to their fan base at all.
Right.
Now, when a terrorist group disguised as a nonprofit organization sends one letter to Sega, they pull a commercial off the air. So that really bothers me. Yes, PETA is a terrorist organization, and no one can convince me differently. Of all the animals they take in, I cited two articles in the games blog post where one of them actually states that PETA euthanizes up 75% to 85% of all animals they take in each year.
I see.
So they're not all that good a company. Everyone praised Sega and PETA for saying something. How do we know that the chimp in this commercial was abused?
Of course. That's what I was thinking. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure there could be some, you know, some real pimp chimp actors out there that, like, you
know, we don't know.
Are living it up.
Exactly. For all we know, this is the best treated pimp chimp in the world. I mean, his trainer may love him more than, you know, like a child. We don't know this. So, but someone at PETA writes one letter to Sega, they pull it down. And yet, like I said, tens of thousands of angry fans can't get them to fix a Golden Axe game.
It's pretty sad. You're right.
And it really bothered me.
I can understand that. The big news this week, though, between this show and the last show, was that there's going to be a Beatles game coming out. MTV basically made a deal with the Beatles to release a game with them, and it's not going to be just like straight up downloadable content for Rock Band. It's going to be a separate standalone game. And I think that's pretty much all we know about it now, right?
I think the rumor is it's going to have 45 songs.
Right. And that's all we know, I think.
Yeah, and there's a lot to choose from. As, you know, someone with...
There sure are.
Well, I guess every Beatles CD. And I have a really cool tape that has some really odd outtakes on it somewhere in my house, too, that I
got. Do you think that a Beatles video game is going to be successful? Do you think that the people who buy games like Rock Band and Guitar Hero are Beatles fans?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
You don't think that it's a sort of an older generation that's interested in the Beatles?
No, I think that if anything, there may be. I think there's a lot of graying with the Beatles. You got to remember when they released that Number Ones album a couple of years ago, it was the best selling album of that year.
You're talking about a CD. I'm talking about a video game.
I'm saying that I think that the Beatles transcends generations.
Your dad is not going to buy a plastic guitar, right?
No, but I haven't bought a Rock Band game since Rock Band 1. I will buy the Rock Band the Beatles.
Well, you only missed one, dude.
Oh, yeah, but I haven't bought any. I haven't purchased any downloadable content in a year either.
Okay. I'm just saying, it's not like the world is passing you
by.
I haven't bought any downloadable
content in a year, but I will buy the Beatles Rock Band on day one.
I mean, I like the Beatles. I would be interested in the game. I'm sort of worried, though, because my guess is, and I'm sure that a lot of the stories mention this too, is that MTV, I'm sure, did not get the Beatles for cheap. And I'm sure that this game is going to be like at a premium.
It'll be a full price game. It'll be a $60 game.
I'm thinking that they may even like make you they'll bundle it with a guitar and you'll have to buy the guitar.
You know what? If it was a Rock Band simulation 12-string Rickenbacker type, I would be okay with that. Yeah. If it was authentic, or the
I'm thinking here's what they're gonna do.
Gretsch Country Gentleman, I would do that too.
Gonna release the game. Here's what they're gonna do. I'm gonna tell you right now what their plan is. Way ahead of everybody. You heard it here first. They're going to release this game. They said it's coming out Christmas time 2009, right?
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to release the game, you know, like in November or something. And you'll only be able to buy it with a guitar. They're not going to sell the game by itself. Now, you'll still be able to use your other instruments with the game. But you're just not going to be able to buy the game without the guitar. Maybe in like February, they'll release the game as a standalone. And what they're going to do is, they already said there's going to be 45 songs on there, right? So it's going to be 45 songs, some sort of Beatles-looking guitar, and it's going to cost the same, you know, it's going to cost $100. Just like the same price as like the Guitar Hero World Tour or Rock Band game that has like 80 songs on it. And then they'll have downloadable content, too, that they'll charge you up the ass for. That's what I think is going to happen.
All right. All I'm saying is, though, if the guitar, like you say, if they do what you say, but if they release
it. Yeah, you wouldn't be upset.
I wouldn't be upset if it's authentic.
Okay. An authentic plastic guitar is what you want.
Well, you know, like if they do like the Hofner bass.
Okay, I understand.
I would be okay with it. That would be kind of cool. If they do a 12-string Rickenbacker, or if they made, you know, I'll pipe dream. If it was a hollow body plastic guitar, that would be pretty badass.
Right. And by the way, when I say they're going to release it as a bundle with a guitar and I list the price, you know, they may release, you know, they may have a whole band kit as well. But the point is, no game by itself.
If they had a drum that said the Beatles on it, it would kind of work, though. You'll be paying the same price
for the game with 45 songs as you pay for the game that has 80 songs
on it. I know. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that.
I know. You like it. And I don't say I like it. I'm not saying I don't like it either. I'm just saying that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Keg Bag, Wombat.
Sure.
It is full of keggy goodness, as usual.
It's Spartan full of bags
V07 says, Chibi and Wombat, are you guys ever going to give the Wii a chance? Are you going to look for? Are you looking forward to any Wii games at all? It's funny. I was listening to past CAGcast pre-E3 2006, and you guys seemed really excited for the Wii. We did?
Sure, we did.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. And the answer is no. Next question.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe not no, but maybe. Maybe no. Maybe I don't know. It's hard to say. The problem is, and this happens a lot, and we've talked about this before, is that the video game industry has a lot of hype surrounding it, before stuff is actually released. And then when you actually get the thing home, you get the game or the console home, it very seldom will live up to your full expectations. I mean, you know how crazy I was about Little Big Planet, playing it in tiny little bursts at trade shows. And then when I got it home, I was like, all right, yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's never quite as good as it is in your mind while I'm at anything.
Nothing is.
Thomas 96 says, Sony has been outselling the 360 in the U.S. throughout the entire year. Do you feel that if the 360 has a very strong finish this holiday season, that it will negate the success that the PS3 has throughout the year? It's not even a question. I don't think maybe the best way to look at this is not like 360 versus PS3 versus Wii. I mean, Sony is its own company, and they're trying to make money. So the question really should be is, can Sony dig themselves out of this hole, out of this PlayStation 3 hole that they've created? You know, Microsoft made a profit last quarter. Sony lost $380 million last quarter. Of course, you know, Microsoft has that huge billion-dollar charge that they took a couple of quarters ago because of all the Xbox 360 repairs. And I wonder if overall Microsoft is out of the 360 hole yet. But I think maybe it's, you know, that doesn't really matter as much, the consoles versus each other.
Well, that's the other question that you bring up, too, that's a good point, is does it really matter who's outselling either, and if they're both in a hole? Does it really matter?
Right.
We're making less than you're making less?
We're losing less money than you are.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I think it's interesting from the point of view is, all right, Microsoft's got the cheapest console now, and Sony's still, you know, the most expensive. In a tough economy, or really even just like any economy, how does that influence the consumers? And history has shown that, and you would think it to be true, that people like the cheaper thing. People go for the cheaper stuff. And that's maybe part of the reason why the Wii was successful. And now we're going to find out this holiday season if the low price is going to help the 360.
Or is it too late for the low price?
Or is it too late? We don't know. We're going to find out. And I think that'll be really interesting. Frisky Tanuki, always got a lot of great questions, says, it seems that an unnamed DS developer has mentioned in an interview that their DS game failed certification from Nintendo, not because of anything to do with the DS, but because it had freezing problems during testing with the DSi. Do you guys think that whatever changes were made internally when making the DSi could come back to haunt them when people test out the 100% backwards compatibility feature that Nintendo promised and find out some of their games don't work as advertised? Yeah, I mean, I think my guess is that the hardware change in the DSi, the significant hardware change that might be causing problems with, you know, people getting their game certified, is I'm sure they tried to tighten up the hardware to fight piracy, because the DS, you know, is pretty easy to, it's pretty easy to pirate games upon. And I know the DSi, you can't use those pirate cards to crash the system. So maybe it was something like that caused this particular problem. So maybe I wouldn't be surprised to find this problem happen with actual games that are already out there. But because the DSi has internal memory, has its own, you know, own onboard memory, I foresee, you know, firmware updates in the future. So they could probably fix those types of problems. All right, Liquid Cross says, I know you guys are both fans of game show software like CNET and Buzz.
We are.
Do you think consoles need more high-quality game show titles like this? Also, what's your opinion on downloadable question packs? For example, the horror movie question pack recently released for Buzz Quiz TV. Yeah, I love those game shows. I think we need more game show titles that have online play with really good, integrated, proper online play.
Online prey.
Online. I've been in Japan for too long, dude.
I see.
No, I know Buzz has online play, but I think it's not that great from what I hear. But I maybe I'm wrong on that. Mm-hmm. I know they just released Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on Xbox Live Marketplace, Xbox Live Arcade. It was supposed to be okay, actually.
But you can never have too much Jeff Foxworthy where I come from.
Right. I'm a big fan of You Don't Know Jack. I'd love to see like an online You Don't Know
Jack. Well, they've
Jack.
Been talking that about releasing. Awesome. There have been rumors of that coming out for a while now.
I'd love that.
New versions all of right. That game. Yep.
Niblet says, hey, Cheapy and Wombat. Cheapy, I've wanted to try sake for a while now, and we're wondering if you could recommend a good website or place in the city, New York City, where I can get some. Also, any recommendations of a good, affordable brand. Now, just in my long-standing tradition of being a douchebag,
yeah,
I will tell you right now, if you want to say sake properly, it's sake. It's not sake.
I think most people say sake.
They do? I don't think so. I hear sake.
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
So, remember, karaoke?
Yeah. Karaoke, sake. Karaoke makes you sound like a douchebag.
No, I know. In fact, they talked about... on one of the outtakes for the Too Old to Play podcast, the guy, Derek, who does that, emailed me, told me to listen to him, and he made a reference to that, to my douchebagginess, I think.
That's because you're a douchebag.
Right. Oh, and to answer this dude's question...
Harusaki.
I liked... what's that?
Haru? Harusaki.
No, I only know one. First of all, I'm no connoisseur, you know. I just like to get drunk.
There's actually two really nice sake bars on the Upper East Side.
Why don't you tell them?
There's Harusaki, which is right on, I want to say, 77th and 2nd.
I know the other one you're going to say.
And then there's the other one that's on, I think it's like 78th, between 2nd and 3rd. I forget the name of it.
Sakehana.
Sakehana, right? Yeah.
Yeah, those are really cool places. Sakehana is really small. Those are good places to go.
Thank you.
There's a place in Midtown that's actually in like the basement of an office building. It's like an old speakeasy. In fact, there's an article about it on the New York Times. It's called Sakegura, Sakegura, all one word. That place is pretty expensive though, so be prepared to drop some bank if you go there.
I'd say Sakehana would probably be your least expensive. Harusaki would probably be somewhere in the middle.
And if you're looking for a cheap bottle, I recommend Onigoroshi, which is you can get like the big rocket ship size bottle for like $20.
I wonder if that's the sake I have in the house.
It could be.
I have some that I've had for a while that I don't even know what brand it is. I'm actually more of a hot guy than a cold guy. But
no, I like cold.
I know you like cold. I'm just saying I prefer hot. Did I ever tell you that story? First time I ever had sake was in a Benihana in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I was with a friend of mine who was Japanese. And I had never had it before, so he ordered me a hot sake. And I had it.
You just said sake.
I guess I just don't pay attention. So, and I liked it. And he just kept ordering more and more for me. Because he's like, oh, it's on me. Enjoy. And I kept drinking it. And I was like, I guess I might have been 20 at the time. Passed out right on the hibachi table.
Did you burn your face?
I burned my arms.
At least he didn't throw up on the hibachi table.
No.
Imagine that, like the cooking vomit. That would have been crazy. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? What would it smell like if you cooked vomit on a hibachi table?
I would assume the smell would go away.
No. It would be worse. Are you kidding?
I think you would cook the out.
Oh, I'm going to throw up just right now.
I think you would cook the bile out and the smell would go away because that's really where the smell comes from.
I love to drink. What I like to do, I don't believe in these sake bombs, but I do love to have a bottle of beer and a bottle of sake and a glass of sake, and I just like switch off between the two. I don't like to actually drop the glass of sake and a beer. Like nobody in Japan does that, and really people don't really drink sake and beer together either. But I like to do that, and it's a nice combination for a nice Nice buzz. All right. Falcon Kick 54 says, what's up, guys? Why aren't there any other console games with support like Halo 3? For example, downloadable content a year after release. Call of Duty 5 is rumored to have plans for this type of thing, and that's good, but when will more game studios follow from Bungie's example? Oh yeah, TB, Google Trusty Bell, you are the Trusty Bell unofficial spokesman. Yeah, if you Google Trusty Bell, my YouTube unboxing video is like number two.
What is Trusty Bell?
What's that?
What is Trusty Bell?
It's that Chopin game. RPG for Xbox 360.
Oh, okay.
Remember, yeah. It's called Trusty Bell here. I bought the Trusty Bell 360 pack. Gotcha. It's because Halo 3 just sells so many copies, and they can't release a new one every year, and they know that people will actually buy the maps, and you know, it's just, there's not that many games that are going to have a really huge online component. Not that many console games. They're going to have a huge online component still going this far after launch.
I don't think there are that many. I mean, by comparison, I'd say even in the PC realm, there are a good number of PC games that have an online community that goes for a long time. But for every one game, there's probably 100 dead PC games.
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah, I mean, you have the Counter-Strikes and stuff.
Yeah. But... I agree with you. I'm just saying that, you know, in the ocean.
But they don't charge for maps on the PC side. That's the difference.
That is the big difference. I'd say
that's your reason. It's just there's just not that many games. They won't make money. Other games just won't make money. You know, if Stranglehold came out with a year after release, they came out with three multiplayer maps. Nobody would buy them.
Well, they did that. And no one bought them.
Well, that wasn't a year after release.
It was less, and still no one bought them.
Right. Aquaboy 1976 says, not really a question, more of a comment. I'm a new listener to the CatCast, and I just wanted to say I enjoy it. I am a father. My son turned 2 on Halloween, and my stepson is going to be 12 in December. Wow, he must have married an older woman.
Or maybe he's just an older man, and since he just got married. Well, no, he's born in 76, so he's going to be 32.
Right, his name is Right. Anyway, he says, I like your guys' sense of humor and how laid back your podcast is.
That's because you're always high.
First of all, I'm not always high. I mean, imagine how laid back it would be if I was high. I'm never high.
I know.
Actually, some of the early ones, Wombat, I have to admit, some of the ones were in New York, and I would come to your office.
Yeah, those were.
I might have been high for a few of those.
I know. I just realized.
You don't know.
Of course I knew.
You did not know. How did you know? Oh. You didn't know.
How would I not know? Look at you. You should have seen what you looked like.
Stop it. You're lying.
You with your eyelids halfway past your nose.
You never said anything. You would have said something.
Why would I have said something?
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Wow, Obama is kicking McCain's ass right now.
I don't know. Every website has a different number.
Oh, I'm looking at Google. It says 195 electoral votes to 70.
Yeah, no, that's not right. I just checked. The most interesting I've seen is CBS says that it's like 199 to like 125.
Right. Well, Obama won in Pennsylvania and Ohio. Anyway, we shouldn't talk about this because it's going to be over by the time most people are listening to it.
That is true.
Okay, that's good for today. That's enough show.
I can hear my child screaming in the background, and my wife's going to be mad at me after listening to this show anyway for making fun of her for buying Millionaire because of Liv Tyler.
Oh, we didn't make fun of her.
So.
She liked the game, man. You were making fun of her. Anyway, I want to say thank you for listening to the show, everybody. And remind our listeners to check out Wombat's game blog at gamesblog.ugo.com for more Wombat and game reviews and game news and all kinds of good stuff. Check that out. Also, please vote for us for the Podcast Awards, podcastawards.com. Vote every day until November 6th. Tell your friends, People's Choice Award and Gaming Award. And that's it for this week. Check out, and don't forget to check out the thread on CAG, the show thread, where I'll post my sexy adventure photos and video. It's my sexy adventure that is not sexy at all.
And a picture of my daughter just like a pumpkin.
Yes, of course, that too. Who could forget that? Thank you so much. We will see you for the big 140th episode next week.
Bye.
Are you one of us? 16-bit graphics, or one of them, 8-bit. Us, CD game sound.
Them,
not. Us. Them. Us. Turbo Express Portable. Us. More power, more sound, killer games, TurboGrafx-16 from NEC.